Hey everybody, welcome back to Up the Vibe. Today I'm doing an episode where I'm going to be talking about the US election. Now, I'm recording this on the day of the election, November the 5th, and I am both excited and a little bit worried as well. I think a lot of people are. I think the tension in America between the two candidates and just general ideologies is at an all-time high. And yes, that is something that's difficult to see. It's difficult to see how that's going to repair. But like all things, the election will come and go, and life will go on. So first, I want to talk about why is the election important? And this is someone talking from the UK. I don't have a vote in America. I'm not 100%. I am slightly affected, but not completely affected by a lot of the policy decisions that will be made by the US president. I am someone who is living in the UK and finding that it's all theatre out there in a way, but it does have an effect. It does have an effect on ideologies, on how people live, how people see the future, and the polarisation. Despite UK not having that level of polarisation between the two leading parties, the Labour and Conservative Party, I can happily have a conversation with actually a lot of my friends are strong Labour voters, some of them are strong Conservatives, and it doesn't really affect the conversation too much which way you lean. But in America, it divides families, divides relationships. The ideologies here are so vastly different in so many respects. It's both understandable, but also quite difficult to, again, see how it will ever get fixed, the polarization in America. So it is important for not just America, but for the world. And we do see a decline in US dominance, the rise of BRICS countries, the loss of belief in the US intelligence agencies to act as almost like the world police in a way, trying to stop terrorism and acts, bad actors, whether that's not, you know, North Korea or Iran or whatever it is. I mean, all these countries, they're just countries with citizens ultimately. Just people are just trying to get through each day in all these countries. So I don't want to label any country as bad, but we do know that there are potential adversaries and threats to the Western way of living. So, yes, it's important. Yes, it'll have effect on the whole world. And also, it's kind of a paradox because I see both candidates as puppets for their side. Their side is much bigger, involves a lot of people that aren't elected, that have power, hold sway, and have their ideologies, and they're using their candidate to bring through their ideologies and see the world in their light. So they're trying to affect the world in their image. And both sides, predominantly, I mean, we can. We'll be going to more conspiratorial arguments down the line, possibly, but let's just assume that predominantly humans are behind both sides of the ideologies. And it's a power struggle between different factions where the two candidates, Trump and Kamala, should get their name right and say it right, both candidates are merely projections, puppets, if you will, of those factions, those power dynamics. So whilst I could talk about the two candidates, and this bothers me a little bit about the side that are voting for Kamala, they focus purely on how they think of Trump. And I find that it's a wrong way to look at it, because Trump is merely, if they don't like Trump, fine, but he's merely a puppet, as I said, for a faction. And it's trying to understand what that faction has in its vision for America and predominantly the world as well. That's the important thing. What is the vision of both sides, rather than looking at the candidates? And this is, again, what bothers me, because Trump is, I think, he's very much misunderstood. A lot of the negative points that people have about him have been being a misogynist, a racist, a rapist, a dictator. All these tropes, they aren't backed by evidence. They are the ch It's childish. It's childish to just call him names like that. And they can say, oh, but what about this or what about that? And you look into those things and you see the propaganda machine taking sound bites and using those to push the biases that many, many people have. Many, many intelligent people who can, if they wanted, see through it all. I don't know if they're denying that of themselves, or they're scared to look beyond their belief systems, but it troubles me that so many very intelligent people still have what a lot of people have coined Trump derangement syndrome, TDS. It concerns me that they can't see through it, and I can relate to it, because back in 2016, we just had Brexit in the UK, and that was a bit of a wake-up call. It was quite a struggle for me to get over the fact that so many people had voted to leave at Europe, and I was someone who had a lot of European friends, and I don't want to go too much into Brexit as a separate conversation. But just after that, Trump got in, and my worldview changed dramatically. I felt like this world that I thought I lived in was changing to something quite worrying. And for a couple of years at least, I, like so many of the people I value and I'm friends with and are very liberal in their attitudes and beliefs, all found Trump to be horrible. And at the time, I went with it. Was it groupthink? Was I going along with the crowd, or did I genuinely see things? I realized at some point down the line that I'd been pushed by external forces to have those beliefs. And I had to go through a journey of trying to understand the mindset of those people that had voted for Trump to get that. And it took me about a year, where I got a new Twitter account. I went on Twitter and kind of joined. I followed people that supported Trump, and I just wanted to understand them. I wanted to know them. I also wanted, I hate to say this, but push negative comments on their feed to try and not necessarily be a troll, but try and change their mind, because I thought, why are they supporting this bad person? But the more I tried to understand them and try and see what was going on, I realized that my own belief systems had been changed by media, essentially. And it wasn't, at the time, I believed that media was deliberately choosing that, but I don't think so now, because a lot of the people that are in the media, who have been employed by the media, hold similar mindsets, and they don't have that posing view for them to review their beliefs and to change and alter. You need a counter argument, you need a counter punch for you to change your beliefs, or or you'll stay in your echo chamber. And I force myself to go through that, but I see so many people, especially in the media, who haven't gone through that journey. So it's not surprising that they push what they consider to be the, I guess, it's their consciousness projection, but they believe it's the global consciousness. They believe that they are part of a global consciousness that all believes, greatly believes, there's some silly people believe something silly stuff like Trump's good. But apart from that, most people are on the same side that Trump is not a good person. And that belief system percolates through a lot of the people in media. If you stray from that, you probably won't have a job for much longer. So that's why it's very hard to see how the people in corporate media will ever change until there's a change outside of media that they have to adapt to. And I see that change happening. So to cut a long story short, I find the projection of Trump being bad is both propagandized and also the wrong way of looking at how you vote for a candidate. It shouldn't be about candidates. It should be about vision of the, I guess you say, you could say the party, but the faction, maybe faction, the power dynamics behind that. And whilst I would say someone who probably is more on the Trump side in terms of ideologies, I can actually see positives on both sides. And this might sound a bit counter what I've maybe said in the past, not necessarily on this podcast, but let's talk about the Trump side. They have a vision, which is very much, I mean, says it all, MAGA, make America great again. They have a vision that's about bringing jobs back to America so that the everyday person just trying to get through each day, paycheck to paycheck, can have more opportunities, more money in their bank account, and have more prosperity. Because that's all people want. They don't have to be rich or have fame or have amazing cars and nice watches. A lot of people just want to be left alone to get through each day and just to try and make a small difference in their little world that they live in, and not be so well known or have all the riches that can come to someone in America. America's a great place for someone to become rich, but not everyone wants that. But every day it just gets harder and harder just to live an ordinary life, just to pay for food and bills and living costs, or having a house or renting. All these things are going up and up and up, and then more salaries aren't going up with it, and it's just harder and harder to live. And that's just not right. That's just not right. So I believe Trump has a more positive ideology towards those people. But counter to that, he has an ideology which is probably not so good for the establishment. And it makes sense why they're not voting for him. He's a threat. He does pose a threat to those who are in that establishment circle of power. And it's not just because they're the opposing side, but because he, like many people that support him, believe that that faction has been in some degree of power, probably since the Second World War ended. US dominance, that kind of growth of the US, the boom period, and following that. And now we've had some time, people have looked back at it and thought, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of problems. What are those problems? Firstly, we could talk about war, all the wars that have happened around the world, in the Middle East, or Vietnam's the big one, in South America, all over the place. There's been wars that people could argue shouldn't have happened. A lot of people suffered unnecessarily. And the protagonists, to a lot of people, were the US going in and stamping their foot on whatever was going on. We could talk about the growth of pharmaceuticals and the food industry and how people are just seeing again and again a decline in just in our mental ability, our health. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling someone who shouldn't be considering themselves to be going into, sounds morbid, but going to old age, but I feel my body changing in ways that shouldn't be happening at my age. It should be thriving more, but it's getting more and more difficult to just to do a lot of physical activity and things, and it concerns me, and I'm trying to change that. I'm trying to eat well, I'm trying to do lots of walking and less eating, less drinking, trying to adapt, but it's getting harder and harder. And I just think the world, the environment I live in, has a lot of toxicity, and it's hard to fight that. And a lot of that has been brought on by the growth of the Western world in terms of all the changes that we've seen in food and pharmaceuticals, in technology. And then obviously we've got AI coming up, and who knows where that's going to going, but the growth of the surveillance states, the potential of some form of social credit system globally that would allow only those people who do the right thing to function in society, and who decides what the right thing is, and who can be a counter to actions by those at the top that are deemed unnecessary and cruel. Who can be the counterpunch? The people need to be the counter to the government, to all the, not just the government, the corporate system, the deep state, if you want to call it that. Someone, the people need to be able to counter that, or else they will create this dystopian future that people worry about. We've seen plenty of movies, Netflix series. We don't need to be told what that could look like. But the potential is there, and people are concerned. And I just think the Trump side are more aware of it and are taking better steps towards eradicating that. But I don't think they fully, Trump side, as they follow all the answers, and it's going to be a struggle. I think you can't be in power in the US without some degree of balance between what you can do in terms of your ideology and what you can do to keep the establishment on board, the power dynamics. There's the power, as I said, will always be there, and they will always be in kind of playing a role. So it's going to be a future with Trump will not necessarily be 100% bright. There's going to be difficult aspects to it. I think establishment will possibly push various incidents that could destabilize the Trump administration, just like they did before. I saw it plenty of times. An attempt to destabilize the US country to show that Trump couldn't lead. I can see that happening again for the next 4 years. Which just brings me on to Kamala. I mean, that is probably an area where she is a better candidate, is that because she is the puppet of the establishment, the power dynamics. They won't feel obliged to push such difficult situations on the population, potentially. This is a potential. I think the last 4 years under Biden with Kamala at the end hasn't been easy, but there hasn't been the how do I put this? There's been war, Ukraine and Gaza and the Israel conflict there. But well, we didn't have COVID. Maybe that's not a valid argument that a Kamala period more stable. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what will have more stability. There's two factions here. We can't predict. We can't predict it. The other thing that potentially Kamala slightly ahead of Trump is this discussion on who will be the disclosure president. And this is something that's dear to my heart and not to everyone, but I think the next 4 years we'll see a great shift towards understanding our place in the universe as not alone. And there's been interactions, probably even custodians, those who have let us run amok in our own playpen, but when we stray too far outside or do something they're not quite in, the others aren't quite in alignment with, is that, for example, blowing up nuclear weapons. That's when they step in and make sure that whatever we do in our playpen isn't too disruptive to the cosmos at large. And I think there's going to be great shift towards that in the next 4 years, and whoever's going to win the election will be the disclosure president. I think that's a huge thing. Despite what Trump has said on podcasts and in various in the White House as well when he was there during his 4 years, I don't see him. Some reason, maybe he's lying, but I don't see him being as interested, being as knowledgeable about that. But he could be putting on a face, putting on a front to this, to not show his true colors on this topic. But we do know that before Hillary lost, she had a huge thing going on behind the scenes with John Podesta. And as much as I don't know if I like John Podesta, he did seem to be someone who was pushing for disclosure back in 2015, 2016. And it was obviously when Trump got in, that didn't happen. I think Obama was part of that. I think if Kamala gets in, those people may start to change things in that way. But they haven't in the last 4 years, so it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. But I'm slightly thinking that Kamala might be just a touch better for the disclosure side of things, which is very important to me. But on the whole, in terms of human progress, I think Trump is better. If you take away the biases and the propaganda about him, you see someone who's just a regular guy trying to do his best. He's not perfect. He says silly things. Yet, I found some of his tweets to be distasteful. But the childish names that are called by the left, stop it, please. It's not helping you. Find a way to say why you're not voting for Trump in a way that the Trump supporters can relate to. Say things that they can relate to, which are based on evidence and meaning. Things you can even just say, do you know what? I just don't like him. That's fine. You don't have to like everyone if you don't like him. But don't say things like he's a rapist and a racist and all these things, because they're just tropes. It's not helping. It's not helping you get your point of view. If you want people on the Trump side to come back over to the Democrat side and support Kamala, you need to talk to them in ways that they can relate to. But anyway, enough on that. Next thing I wanted to talk about is the cheating. This is something that I saw firsthand last time. Very disconcerting. But when I started to look into it, I realized that the system, how it is easy to cheat. Whether you think there's cheating or not, it is easy to cheat. How is it easy to cheat? Firstly, the technology is being used. I work in tech. It's easy to create a voting machine that gives you fractional voting. I'm not saying this is happening, but I'm saying it would be easy to do that, to give more. So one vote can count for 1.5 and for one candidate and 0.5 for another, for example, so that your total tally, when rounded up to an integer, is swayed and skewed in the direction you want. It's easy as an administrator to add votes, to change votes. It's easy. It's tech. Right now, you don't need voter ID in certain states, so it's easy to go in and just make up a vote. Go in from another state. Go in as an illegal immigrant and just vote. That I understand the premise of making votes anonymous so that you can not have your vote be known publicly, but you should be able to go in and make sure that your vote is counted correctly towards the final tally. You as a person should have that ability. It doesn't necessarily have to be a public knowledge of your vote, but you should be able to do that. It's easy to cheat as well, and this is something that I think is very important. We talk about the US election as a vote between millions, hundreds of millions of people, but the reality is, because it's so close, and because the narrative is that it's so close, and that's all they have to do is to me is create the narrative that it's close for them to be able to go into these swing states and show any result, one way or the other, as normal. But ultimately, could be just, it could, doesn't have to be that many votes that can sway a swing state in one way or another. And we're talking certain districts in swing states. That ability to, with only a small number of votes compared to the number that were voted in total, only a small percentage of the votes can be so critical in deciding the winner. It's easy to see how the election isn't about millions, it's about tens of thousands of votes, really. And with that in mind, with the will and the way, I'm not surprised that, given what I was saying earlier about how easy it is to cheat, I'm not surprising that the potential's there. And I think whether you think there's cheating or not in the 2020 election, the potential has to be there, has to be acknowledged by both sides. The left have to acknowledge it. They were saying cheating back with Russian interference back in 2016. They still talk about that. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say that cheating's possible in one election but not in the next one. You've got to have an honest discussion and say cheating is possible, and we need to make sure it doesn't happen. Both sides need to be part of that discussion. I think a lot of effort has been done behind the scenes by people on the Trump side to make sure that they can stop cheating. But there's going to be some, and it won't be publicized, it won't be in the media, but there will be some. And that concerns me. That concerns me that this is going to sway an election which is so important towards Kamala, because I will be okay with a Kamala win if I feel like it was legitimate, it was true to the vote. If I see cheating like last time, I'm going to struggle to accept Kamala as president, and I'm sure a lot of Americans will too. Cheating is never good, regardless if you think you're stopping a right-wing dictator taking over. If you think you're doing the greater good by cheating, you're not. End of story. So finally, let's talk about the aftermath. And I do hope that things can be peaceful. But I'm also concerned that if there's cheating and it's seen, I don't know if the Trump fans, the Trump brigade, if they lose based on cheating, if they can hold it in for another 4 years. And I think I do concern myself that a civil war will break out because they will have had enough. They saw the levels of cheating that happened last time. I saw it. I saw the gaslighting in the media the year before. I've seen all the lies about COVID. and I'll talk about that on another podcast, but it's a lot to take on board, and to find a pathway peacefully is obviously the best route, but sometimes when the other side will just not listen or continue to cheat, do what they think, sometimes you just have to see other routes. And I hope it's not one of civil war, but I can see the potential there, and that's concerning. That will destabilize America considerably and probably be the thing that pushes the dynamics of power from west to east. But if Trump wins, I do hope that in time the media will expose why people have voted Trump in a way that allows a lot of the left, some will not want to switch, but a lot of the left to realize the games that have been played, how they've been hoodwinked in many ways, and a peaceful transition will happen. Of course, we know that the real transition of power happens in January next year. So the next few months could be quite shaky, but I do hope that whoever wins is done peacefully and cheating is minimal, so that whoever wins can be called the legitimate president. So that's enough of my thoughts on the US election, before it happens. Thank you for listening. Until next time.